This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Hoarding has been described as the excessive collection of items, along with the inability to discard them. Hoarding can create such problematic living conditions, leaving homes and apartments filled to capacity with narrow pathways winding through stacks of clutter. Some people also collect animals, keeping dozens or hundreds of pets in unsanitary conditions. Hoarding involves obsessively collecting objects to the point of risking one's own health or the health and safety of others. And it has become so widespread that the Psychiatric Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is considering listing the disorder in its next edition. The City of Vancouver recently established a task force to deal with the problem, which is a particularly problematic issue on the city's downtown east side.
We're joined on the phone today by Dawn Collette, a therapist who works with compulsive hoarders. Welcome to People First Radio, Dawn.
Thank you, Ashton. It's a pleasure to be here.
Explain to me, Dawn, what is hoarding?
Compulsive hoarding disorder is considered, there are a few criteria. One is that people aren't able to use the the rooms in their house for the purpose that they were built for, so the person can't, use a living room or can't use a dining room table or can't use a kitchen. There's so much stuff that the dwelling is not able to be used for the purpose that it was built for. And then there's also distress around the problem. So either the family is experiencing distress because of the issue, or the person themselves is experiencing distress.
How does hoarding develop as a behavior in a person over time?
It starts often with many people. It starts with in late adolescence, early adolescence. And person could be around 13 or 14 years old, and often there might be some trauma in the childhood of that person. There could be considerable loss in that family. But even with those two things, it's only a certain kind of person who has a kind of a visual acuity and has developed a particular relationship with objects where this condition would arise.
How would somebody know if a family member or somebody living near them was a hoarder and not simply a collector?
A collector is someone who has a proclivity for a certain kind of object, like one kind of object, or maybe two different kinds of objects. Hoarders, there isn't really a discrimination between objects. It's just that objects generally, have a hold on them.
You mentioned that there were that because of different traumas, a person is likely to hoard items and attach a relationship to them. What are some examples of these traumas?
It's going to sound, maybe people will think this is kind of minimal, but it's actually, if you think of a small child, I have three clients whose one of their earliest memories is being deprived of a teddy bear, say. For some reason, one of the parents has given the teddy bear away or has cleaned the room and taken objects that are important to that child away. One client who's, had a blanket like Linus did, the mother actually decided to give that object away. And so the separation from the object was the trauma for the child because, as you know, for children, they have this sometimes a tremendous attachment to an object that becomes important to them. And then to be deprived of it is a significant loss for them. So with a certain kind of person, that might give rise to an obsession with objects down the road.
What is your opinion on some of these television shows that have come up that are depicting the suffering of these people with this mental illness that prompts hoarding? What's your take on those television shows?
I can't watch them. It's to me, as a clinician, it's a bit like watching a train wreck. You know, knowing that a train wreck is going to happen and just watching it. I can't. It's an unfolding of suffering to me, and it feels like exploitation, pure and simple. I mean, we don't have reality television shows about schizophrenia. Well, why not? Because to do that would be exploitive of those people. So it's almost like a voyeurism that we're kind of obsessed with in this culture, those kind of programs, you know, play on. You know, having said that, I do have clients that actually have been helped by the programs because they realize that they're not isolated, they're not alone. And generally, these people tend to be very isolated in their lives and they don't think anybody else has the problem. So it's kind of normalized the situation for them, and it needs to be said also that probably we wouldn't be having this conversation right now without those television programs, because they've really brought the problem kind of out of the closet in a way. So I mean, it's been a mixed blessing, but I can't sit through them.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
Hoarding has become so widespread that the Psychiatric Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is considering listing the disorder in its next edition. In Vancouver, hoarding is particularly problematic on the downtown east side. The city of Vancouver recently established a task force to deal with the issue. We're speaking with Don Collett, a former United Church minister and a therapist who works with compulsive hoarders.
Don, what kinds of therapeutic approach is taken with compulsive hoarders?
Well, it really depends on what the person is presenting. And if they're wanting, you know, help with the sorting the objects themselves, then we can, you know, provide a functional way for them to sort objects. But often, as I do my assessment, and my assessment involves taking a history of the family and that person's place in their family, often we actually start with the trauma itself, with the idea that if somehow in the talking about the trauma and sometimes the losses in the family, that being able to park that trauma or loss somehow in the brain is a way of freeing up the person to be able to do or to be more functional in their lives, which would include being able to dispose of objects. So the modality that's most often used with hoarders is cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's a therapy which helps people do things differently. And when they do things differently, people do things differently. They think about them differently as well, and they feel differently. So cognitive behavioral therapy, concentrates on the doing, and it's actually been very helpful, and that's one of the reasons why they're wanting to take compulsive hoarding and make it its own category, because right now it's part of OCD. It's a criterion OCD, and hoarding really doesn't respond to OCD interventions. It just hasn't produced very much results, so they're thinking it's really a disorder unto itself.
What kinds of results have you seen during your years of work of doing this cognitive behavioral therapies?
Well, you know what? Honestly, it's amazing to me to see some of the difference, differences in people. On the other hand, there's no prediction of who's actually going to respond and who isn't. I mean, there are many situations, particularly in among the precariously housed in the downtown east side where I work, where believe it or not, there really isn't sometimes an awareness of the problem. So you can be actually talking to somebody in the middle of a very, very full room, and they don't really think that it's an issue. So there you've got a situation where you really need to, because they may have a property manager on their case, they might have the fire department on their case, or the health department even. And so something has got to be done because other people's lives are endangered. And so in that case, you're into a harm reduction kind of scenario. And so you have to do something. And the key is to help have that person involved in whatever happens. Because in former years, what people have done is it's actually just gone into a place and just cleared it out. And that's a major trauma for a compulsive hoarder. You can't do that and not really do harm to that individual.
When you say harm to that individual, do you mean psychologically?
Yes, it's like a significant loss. I mean, we've been helping a woman who had to be evicted from her place because of the hoarding that she was doing, and we helped her into another place, but it meant that she had to get rid of like 3/4 of her stuff, right? Well, this is like 4 months down the road now, and I'd say that she's in a state of significant mourning over the loss of those objects. So we need to understand that the first thing that's important when we're dealing with hoarders is the person. We have to be compassionate to the person, even when our priority seems to be property. Because we're really dealing with human lives here, and the danger of hurting them and hurting them in severe ways.
Don, we have just a moment left in our conversation today.
Sure.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
You know, I think for a person who might think that they have a problem in their lives, there is help out there, and you share that problem with a million other people in Canada. A million people are afflicted with this, so. You're not alone, and the more you report to a clinician or a therapist with this problem, the more people will treat it. So there is help out there, and there is research that shows that there is actual help that can be done. So don't hesitate.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It was so much appreciated.
Thank you, Ash. It's been a pleasure.
Don Collett is a former United Church minister and a therapist in the city of Vancouver. He works with people who have problems associated with compulsive hoarding.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.